This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. I have to say I'm a little bit inhibited now because with these apprentices giving such accomplished presentations, I'm feeling a bit sort of nervous. I have been at the Old Vicarage for 27 years. I'll lay out my case. I'm a passionate advocate for apprenticeships. My management team have all come through the apprenticeship route in the 90s, all fairly young, and one or two have gone on to other things. My manager went on to do a certificate in management, and my other girls have done various other associated courses, depending on what role they've got, whether it's in training or it's in the finance section or whatever. I'm a great believer that with the right environment and the right circumstances, I can teach anybody anything. And my apprentices, when I employ them, and it's not always me does the interviewing, etc., they are told right at the beginning and given a small piece, and I filched it from Fujitsu, of what my responsibilities are to them and what I expect their responsibilities to me to be. So it's laid out very clearly for them that we value them and we expect them to value us. Because for some of these youngsters, and for my older apprentices, who are the young mums who come to work in the evenings and do nights for me and maybe weekend work, who, for most of them, they haven't had a lot of success in their lives. They have not particularly won prizes at school, they've not got six A-levels, and they are valued, for the young mums, they're valued by their families, but they haven't really got a lot to show who they are. So going back to, I said I don't do PowerPoints because I always ignore them and talk about what's been said during the day when you're on a late slot like this. And I think it's very true that what we need to do with them, both types, is to show our community that these people have standing, because they probably haven't had it before. So the way I do that is I work with various partnerships. We've got a care partnership in Dorset, we've got local colleges, and we've got the schools. It's been a help to me, actually, since I was asked to be a community governor, because I then have a lot of interaction with the school. I had a lot of interaction anyway, because I used to send my carers back into the school, talking, you know, Liam, about careers. I used to send them in because there's no point in me going and telling them that, you know, there's a career in care. But if I send in a 19-year-old blonde with a short skirt, it's amazing how the pupils all take notice of what she says. So I've always done work experience. We've got a business and enterprise school with a sixth form. And I have to say, we've just got an excellent Ofsted, and I'm very proud of it. And I think what I've heard today is that for some of us, we don't make our feelings known sufficiently. We need to tell that school. When I first started apprenticeships, it was very much, well, you can come to college on this day and it'll be between 9 and 5, and they'll have to be here for 2 terms or whatever. And I said, no, I've got 24-hour cover here. I need you to provide training when I need it. But of course, it was all around funding, as I've heard today, and bums on seats, etc., etc. But I have to say that is changing now, because training providers have realised that we provide, if I'm 24-hour service, and if I'm trying to train night staff, I'm not going to get them up at, you know, 9 o'clock when they've just done a night to go into college for the day. So a lot of it's around talking to people and communication skills. I mean, I wish I'd done a lot more on communication skills, which we are now doing because we're all into our end-of-life care and our beacon status, so we're having to talk to people. But I wish I'd done a lot more on negotiation and communication, because, of course, that's the basis of all business, isn't it? I certainly wish I'd done negotiation with banks. We're about to do an expansion programme, and I'm going to borrow £1 million. Now, there's nothing like borrowing £1 million to get you. It's taken me until retirement age to be able to say to a bank manager, no, that's not what I want. This is what I want. Have the interest rates changed today? Does anybody know? So I think so much of it, and for so many of our young people, they're brilliant at texting and they're brilliant at, you know, IT. But talking to me is not quite so easy for them. So I think the other thing I've done is to go into the school or think laterally. Lots of, I know we're a difficult group, we employers, and I could knock their heads together. I do a lot of work in Dorset with employers, and sometimes I could just walk out on them because they're stubborn, they're set in their ways, they've got preconceived of ideas of young people, and they won't change. And I know it's very difficult. But what I'm trying to do is think laterally. There's going to be, the demographics tell me, there's going to be old people around from now until about 2050. I should be all right. I should hopefully get out a long time before that. But so I haven't got a problem with customers. I don't get a lot of repeat business, I have to say, but I don't get a lot of customers. So what I need to do is think laterally. Why would you want to send your mum into my home? What am I offering that, you know, Colton Care and Bupa and various other big organisations aren't offering? I'm only small. I've been there 27 years, so I've got to offer something different. So I started thinking, well, I need to involve myself with the school because that's where I saw some of my workforce coming from. And that's where I like apprentices because they come out of school, they're a clean page, and I can develop them into my way of thinking, which... and also when I use the early ones now and a lot of the later ones to help new apprentices, they are delivering my ethos and my standards, which are basically, you know, quality care commission standards. But we won't talk about them. There's always been a budgetary problem. But there are a lot of ways around things. We have recently installed 3 Simplicity computers developed by Val Singleton for our residents to use. I didn't think my old residents would want to use it, but it has opened my eyes, and I thought, well, there's no way I can install them. So I went into the school and said, right, you've got all these kids doing IT and business skills, et cetera, et cetera. Can I have them for a couple of days, a selected few, and I'll give them lemonade and Kit Kat, and could they set up all my computers for me and tell me roughly how to use them? Which is, you know, what happened. It was good experience for them because it was live experience. They were using their skills that they knew, and it was great for my older people to see these kids working. And these kids don't always get real life work experience, you know, something that they could go away and think, well, we've done that and we've set it up and we knew how to do it. And it gives them, you know, a feeling of status, and they can go back to parents and say, this is where we've been today, and it's actually quite nice out there. One of them was heard to say in the hall, doesn't smell at all, does it? And I think that for younger people, you know, as I say, they don't always get valued by the school, by their parents. I've just been reading Dorothy Rowe. Anybody know Dorothy Rowe, the psychologist? We don't treat kids well in this country. We tell them to be good all the time. What does being good mean? Anyway. To just go on to my loyalty, I have to say that what I've done in my organisation is, and it's something Liam said, which I'm interested to hear because I thought it was working, I devolve down responsibility. So once you've done your apprenticeship, there's not always the ability to progress everybody into a promotional sort of role. There will be once I've built these rooms, and that will be good for them. But what I can do is I've got a laundry lady who runs the laundry, and she runs the budget, and she runs her staff. So she does the rotas for her staff, etc. The kitchen run their own budget, their own staff, etc., etc., as do the housekeeping. And I'm always amazed at how capable these people are. If I say to the housekeeper, which I did recently, can you do me a really good risk assessment? Now, this is a farmer's wife. She does VAT for her farm, and she does all the calves. But she did a brilliant risk assessment, much better than I would have ever done. And I think one of the other things about employers is they don't trust people. It really annoys me that they say, and with the budgets for this £1 million project, you know, my manager and a couple of apprentices have done the business plan for that and have worked out the budgets that we will need, worked out how quickly we might fill the rooms, worked out the break-even point, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they haven't done that on their own, but they've done it with a bit of mentoring, and they're really proud of it, because when the bank manager said, this is really good. I said, well, don't look at me, because it's not me. It's the youngsters have done it. And as you said, Liam, when you've got something that you own and you can feel proud of, so when the housekeeper comes to us at the end of the month, to the management meeting, and we say, right, are you on budget this month? And she says, well, actually, I'm under budget. You know, we're really thrilled. And she's thrilled that we're thrilled, sort of. You know, I think, and I say to employers, they say, oh, you can't tell them what the budget is. You can't tell them what your end result is, etc. Why not? I trust them with 33 lives. I've come up here today. You know, I'm out of phone contact. There's, I don't know, I've got 50-odd staff, but there'll be perhaps 15 on duty. They have got 33 vulnerable people's lives. Why the hell shouldn't I let them go onto the computer and see, you know, why shouldn't they be involved? The other thing I do believe passionately is the person who should be training my apprentices is the people they look after. So the people that they look after who are capable, and, you know, some of them have dementia, but we have got some very articulate, capable, competent residents. And if I say, so-and-so's, you know, we had a new apprentice actually came yesterday for her induction, and I say to a couple of residents, right, this is Georgina, her name is, and she's going to be training with us over the next few years, and I expect you to give her feedback. They come and listen to the training sessions, and they also give a lot of feedback. Now, I can say to somebody, you didn't do that very well, did you? And I have to say in this country, try and not say it quite like that, but it's am I bothered sort of approach. I try and always use the standard, because then it's not me. Was that up to standard? Do you think the assessor would have passed that, etc., because then they can't blame me? But I was saying to somebody earlier, I have had for 15 years an exchange with a Dutch college. So we every once or twice a year, for 10 or 12 weeks, and we've got 12 weeks at the moment, two Dutch students usually, they come over, they're on the same, they've got a similar progression route as we have, but they can step off as our girls can, or go on into nursing, or go on up into medicine, etc. The Dutch are very much, they're obviously brought up to have feedback. So when they say to me at the end of the day, how did I do? Was I all right? Did I make that bed to standard, etc., etc.? They're used to me saying, well, actually, no, we weren't very pleased with that today. And I did overhear you saying, you're a silly old bag. You know, that sort of, they accept that quite readily, because they know I'm going to fill in their forms at the end of the 12 weeks and we're going to say whether they've met our standards or not. But it's interesting, in England, we are quite sort of criticism. We don't see it as feedback, do we? We see it as criticism. So I think the other thing I do for staff is I can tell them how good they are, but the other thing I can do is put them in for awards. Now, we have put a lot of, as you've said, we've put a lot of people in for awards. We have had a couple of our carers, one of whom's up for, there's the Great British Care Awards. She's up for the best carer. She's a kid from Yeovil. She didn't have the happiest of home lives. And she's won the South West regional heat, and she'll hopefully come up and maybe win the national heat. Now, people would look at that kid in the street and think, oh, God, you know. But she's lively, she's committed, she never lets me down, she's observant. There's one thing I would plead for teachers and colleges, please teach these kids and students to be observant, because for me, that's a really important point. I can teach them key skills, and I can teach them the skills they need to look after old people. But if they're not observant, it's a real pain in the neck. So please teach them to be observant. So when I do awards, not only do I find that they, obviously we publicise then if we win in our parish magazine and, you know, in the local paper, etc. For some of those people, especially the mums, for their families to see them in the magazine, you know, so-and-so's just won. My horticultural student has just won from Kingston Moorwood in Dorchester the apprenticeship prize for the best soft landscaping. And he said to me, I've never won a prize before. I never won a prize at school. And I said, well, there you go, see. Now, that's done a hell of a lot for him and for his mum and dad. And I think that so often, for for people who didn't achieve, just to be in the local paper is really important, isn't it? It just gives you a status, I suppose. And for a lot of older women, they don't have any status. You know, they've got teenage kids who think they're rubbish, a husband who doesn't perhaps appreciate them as much as she should, and they come out to work really hard, and if I can put them in the paper, I think that's something that really, really helps. It gives them confidence, as it's given you today, hasn't it? I mean, you've done a brilliant job. What else was I going to say? The bottom line for me is that these people, my turnover is about 1.3 million, and they know that. All my staff, the business plan's there, they can read it if they want to. They don't always understand it totally when they start, but it's there. And because of all these awards, our community have a lot of faith in us. Because they have a lot of faith in us, we have full occupancy. Because we have full occupancy, we have a good turnover. And so going on to the fact that, you know, loyalty, I spend very little on advertising because we don't need to advertise, because actually the youngsters bring me in other youngsters. You know, they say, oh, there might be a job going. Do you want to come and join us? Now, this girl, Georgina, who came yesterday, has been working at another care home in the area, but she's come to me and I said, why have you come to us then? Because they didn't offer me any training. You know, I've been there 2 years, haven't offered me anything. Well, surely they've offered you an MBQ. No. So, you know, that's another thing. Kids are looking now, as you've said, to be, you know, to progress. And I don't mind if any of my staff leave as long as they go into the sector. Well, I was saying to somebody earlier, I get really cheesed off if they go to Tesco's, which doesn't happen. But as long as they go into nursing, or they go into midwifery, or they go out on the district, or they go into community care or whatever, then I don't mind. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I've done my job. My husband said to me yesterday, I said, Aisha's got engaged. He said, oh, that means she'll leave. I said, well, it doesn't matter. She'll go and work in Taunton, and she'll go and work in a care home, and she'll spread our good practice. So for me, apprentices are A1. I need a balance of staff. So I've got a lot of older staff as well. But they all help each other, and I'm for them all the way.